Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. We're so glad that you take a little bit of time with us each week. We try to bring you some resources, some interviews, and things that will encourage you and help you to continue to endure. And so, Alan, today we have a special guest. Would you introduce our guest today?
Yeah, we are so excited to have with us today David Bowman. He is the executive director for the Tarrant Baptist Association in a little place in Texas, in the Fort Worth area. So, David, we're so glad to have you with us, and we'll let you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your role.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to be with you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm the executive director of Tarrant Baptist Association, one of the largest associations in America. We're larger than 20 or 21 state conventions. So let's just get those bragging numbers up out there right up front. But, you know, the reality is of the 400 churches that call TBA home, we know about where 200 of them are. So nothing to get too excited about there. But I've been here for about 9.5 years. It's one of two jobs I said I would never have. Said I would never work for a state convention or an association. I thought I would always be a pastor. But here I am having done both. I worked for Texas Baptist for 4.5 years, and now I've been here for 9.5.
Well, you mentioned pastoring, David. Mm-hmm. How long did you pastor before you moved into convention and association work?
Yeah, I was a pastor for 20 years.
Okay. That's good. That's good for our listeners to know that, hey, you understand what they're going through.
Yep. Well, I don't think anybody can understand what they're going through with COVID right now. That's a different world, but everything BC, before COVID.
Before COVID.
I understand that. So.
Yeah, so we have some listeners who probably don't come from a Southern Baptist background and might not even know really what an association is, much less executive director. Most places they actually have another, it might be called a director mission or associational mission strategist. But Right. Tell us a little bit about what an association is.
Yeah, association is a group of churches in a particular area. In Texas, there are over 100 associations, basically built around a county. Sometimes it's more than one county, be an area, several counties together, but typically it's a county-wide organization. Obviously in the metropolitan areas like Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, there are large associations. Smaller counties like where I grew up, we were talking about a good friend of ours, Kent Pate down in East Texas, in the Rehoboth Association. That's a small county, and they'll have 40, 60 churches or so. But it's a geographical group of churches working together to carry out the Great Commission in their area.
Well, and so as you've been working in this association, how has your role changed? I'm assuming that everybody's going through massive changes. And so how has your role changed in the past few years, or at least the past year for sure?
Yeah, the last year has been a great time of experimentation. We have never been down this road before. We've learned a lot of things. A lot of things we were already sensing, we're now seizing. A lot of things we were feeling in our gut, we're actually doing now. We weren't ready to do those things, but we jumped out there and we did them anyway. So like everybody else, we are now experts in Zoom and other video platforms like this. We do a lot of online training. We had done some online training before, but we always prefer that personal touch. We have a wonderful retreat center that belongs to us that we have developed over the years, and we love doing meetings there because you can be face to face, you can spend a lot of time there, get to know each other at a deep level. That's been out the window for over a year now. So we've done a lot of video training, and that has worked better than we thought going in, and that's something we will always do going forward. Maybe not the same way we're doing it right now, But that will always either be a table setter or a supplement in everything that we do. So that's a big change right there.
Yeah. How is your role changing and how you relate to pastors? Because obviously you used to do a lot of meetings with them, going to restaurants, hanging out with them in places that's become really hard. So how has that role changed, and what are you finding is the number one need of pastors right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back in 1980, I think it was, a book came out called Megatrends. And one of those was, in this high tech world, we need to be more high touch because it's real easy for people to get disconnected. Boy, if that was true in 1980, what is that today? Right. And so we connect with pastors every day through a number of different ways, email, social media, that kind of thing. But one of the things we've really worked on is making personal connections. Becky Beiser on our staff, our director of leadership development, writes about 35 community leaders every month. And during this past year, she's written a lot more pastors. I write pastors on a regular basis. We try to stay in touch with guys, especially if we hear somebody's having a tough time. One of our pastors right now, great guy, he's one of the hardest working men I know. And on his staff, he's had several staff members with COVID. And then several of their family members have had COVID. And then many of their church leaders and church members have had COVID. The pastor has not, but he's been carrying everybody else's load for a year now. Now, You know what that would do to somebody. So we're trying to be very strategic in how we connect with him. Not to add to his burden, but just to let him know, hey, somebody's praying for you. Somebody's there ready to serve you at any moment. You know, what can we do to step in as adjunct staff members to take some of the load off of you during this season?
Right. Well, and as you mentioned the different churches, I know that in your association, you have kind of a wide spectrum of sizes of churches, right? Mm-hmm. And so do you find different ways how do you communicate or help out smaller churches versus larger churches? Are there big differences?
There are differences, and there are differences of degree and differences of need, differences of desire to contact. Let's be honest. There are some people who just don't need us, and that's not related to size. That's just personality. And we have to live with that, deal with that. We want to be friends with everybody, but not everybody wants to be friends with us. It's amazing how many people make up their mind about you having never met you.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, we've just got these biases that they're baked in to our group, and that excludes certain people. But we've tried to connect with people in every size church. We want to help every church take their best next step.
So in your environment, are you finding that COVID has affected maybe the large and smaller churches differently, and maybe the urban and more suburban churches a little bit differently?
Yeah, big churches feel empty. I have not been in church a lot this past year. I have some pre-existing conditions that make me more susceptible to COVID. So I've tried to be careful about that. We do worship every Sunday morning. It's usually in our pajamas with our dogs. And our dogs really enjoy it they enjoy it when my wife sings. They look at me funny, but we're in worship every week. It's just not always in person. But when we've been in person in large churches, they feel empty. And there is something about being in a full house. Early on, when they said, yeah, you can go back to church, and we want you to do this, wear your mask and do this and on, it just felt so good to be back in a crowded house. It felt good. But as things turned the other way with COVID, things became more challenging. Then fewer and fewer people were showing up on Sunday. And when you walk into a building that comfortably seats 2,000 and you've got 200 in it, That just feels empty. And everybody feels that. Smaller churches, smaller membership churches are struggling because they are they're used to having, you know, up to 200 people or so. And now they can only have 50% of that or 25% of that. So you've got all these chairs marked off where people cannot sit. I remember the first Sunday I went back to church, I was preaching, and they had a camera mounted on the pulpit. So it's a foot and a half in front of my face. I gotta be honest with you. I was a radio TV guy in college, but still, that messed me up. I had the hardest time. Fortunately, I got to go back the next Sunday and I did a lot better job. Yeah. But you're preaching to 50 people in a room that will seat 400, and you've got a camera a foot and a half in front of your face. That is a little disorienting. And it's not just disorienting for the people on the platform. It's disorienting for everybody. So it's a new way of doing church. Here's the most encouraging thing I've seen over the last year. More and more churches are doing church-wide Bible reading plans. They're all reading the Bible together. They're building Bible studies around that reading process. Pastors are including that in their preaching, and everybody is seeking to hear God together. There is a real hunger for God and His Word right now that I think we've been missing for quite a while. Honestly, it's encouraging about what could be on the other side of this pandemic.
And so you mentioned that you know, having churches do more reading through scripture together. Are there other creative things? I know you've got some amazing pastors in your area and amazing staff. Have you seen some other things that have been just like, wow, that's really cool?
You know, one of the most enjoyable things, I was working with a large church, did a planning process for them, execution planning thing with them. And some of the most enthusiastic Zoom Bible teaching is done by 80-year-olds. I mean, these guys are having such a good time. They're learning how to teach in a whole different way. They are learning not just content issues, but how to connect differently, how to communicate differently, how to receive from other folks, how to welcome new people into their groups. It's opening up. It's completely retraining them in how to do small group Bible study. Again, it's one of those things that I look forward to what the effects are going to be on the other side of COVID, because they're learning some things that are going to make them much more effective in the years ahead.
Yeah, I wonder too. I'm listening to you, and I feel I see both sides of all of that. Being where I'm at in the Denver area, I'm close to the city, mm-hmm. but then I also have a lot of rural elements in my church, yep. as well. And I find that the rural side is much more resistant mm-hmm. to those changes than the suburban urban side. You know, and then of course the urban side. I think the closer you get to a center of a city, the more serious and the more stringent the guidelines seem to be in those areas, and the more you're forced to adjust whether you want to or not. And yep. I've certainly seen that. I've loved the creative nature and how this has drawn out, you know, creativity in mm. churches. It was not long ago most pastors were saying, well, we'll never go online because church is in person. Well, that all changed, right? You know, uh-huh. And so everyone's having to adapt to change, and this, I think this helps the process of churches changing more easily.
I think so too. And it's one of those things where they're having to think in two different planes. Yes, there are the people in the room, and even if they're not in the room with us, our people are there. But beyond that, there's a group of people tuning in now who never would come to our church. Before, we're able to have connection and communication with people who would never walk through the doors of our church. Now, think about this. For years, we said Sunday school was the front door of the church, and then it became your website. Guys, today it's your online service. That's the front door of the church. And we've got to find new ways of not only welcoming people to a broadcast, but connecting with those people, providing them with resources, welcoming them into membership when they never actually come into our building, helping them get baptized or experience the Lord's Supper outside of our church building. These are some huge new trends that we need to focus on now, but we need to continue to focus on after COVID. This has thrown open a door for us to do some things, again, we've never done before.
David, I love that you're mentioning this. And it actually, our churches are no longer limited by location, and we're no longer limited by time, because yep. people are watching our Facebook Live things at all different times of the week. And so it's really interesting in that, you know, I've noticed it myself trying to, how do you speak during your sermon to include those people and the things that you say at the beginning of the service and at the end of the service, invitation wise and all that. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask you, with that in mind, after we get past COVID, what do you see are some challenges that we're all going to face?
Well, one of the challenges we're facing right now, and we need to come to grips with really quickly, is pastors' egos. It's an ego thing to have a large crowd. However you define large, I've pastored churches where 70 or 80 people was a large crowd. And I've pastored, you know, much larger churches. But we've got to get past the ego of a big crowd. And we've got to get past the ego issues of the response of the crowd. There are some preachers who just can't preach without people amening them or laughing or clapping or something like that. But dude, when it's just you and the camera, the camera doesn't clap and the camera right. doesn't blink. And so you've got to learn a new way of talking. If you stare at the camera the whole time, you're making everybody uncomfortable. You watch TV news and watch how the broadcasters, even though they don't have to, they'll have a piece of paper on the desk. That piece of paper is not there for them to look at unless there's an emergency. They know everything that's on that. They're glancing down to break eye contact, to relax people. People need to be able to relax. We've got to learn how to communicate the truth of God's word without our ego getting entangled in it. And when you're just talking to a camera, that takes away all of those crowd issues. And you better be fully dependent on the Spirit of God in that moment. And another thing is, we've got to learn who our end user is. It's not just the people who normally come on Sunday morning. It is people who have had abortions. So when we're preaching about that, we need to be very careful what we say and how we say it. It's people dealing with same-sex attraction and who have heard what evangelicals think about that, and they're just giving you an opportunity. And this may be the only opportunity they ever give a preacher to talk to them about that issue. You better not just say what's wrong, but what God has to say about life change and about a life that honors Him and blesses others. You need to come through with more than just thou shalt not. There's got to be a whole lot more content there. I was listening to a podcast this morning. I got to tell you, this is just so good. If you're not listening to the Cary Newhoff podcast, you don't get his emails and stuff, you do yourself a favor and sign up for it. You won't agree with everything. If you had to agree with everybody on everything, you would be listening to this podcast. So that's just reality, right? But the Cary Newhoff podcast right now, number 399, with Mark Clark on how to preach to an online audience, growing a church during a pandemic, and why the next generation wants the real Jesus. Guys, every preacher needs to listen to that. There is so much gold there. We've got to reorient ourselves away from our egos and away and toward what the needs of the people are out there, whoever they may be. We've got to become better gospel communicators, and we need to get ourselves out of the way. I'm not passionate about that or anything. You know, it's just a thought. Just a thought.
Yeah, preach it, brother. Preach it. That's
good. You know, I love what you had to say about ego, though. I think all of us have you know, I recognize over the last year too how God is working in my life to humble me. You know, I thought the last year before that was a humbling experience because I had heard about the Enneagram on Carrie Newhoff. Uh-huh. And then did some research and learned more about that. We've actually done a podcast on that and mm-hmm. found out I was an 8 and that my vice is anger. And when I'm not healthy, how bad that can be, you know, yeah. And that was a life changer for me. And that really humbled me. Mm-hmm. And then to come face to face with the COVID part mm-hmm. and see how, you know, well, how many people, just the other day I was asked, well, how many people do you run? Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know anymore. Yeah, yeah. We run yeah. who we run. I've stopped counting that number. It all of a sudden it just doesn't have the same appeal anymore.
Right, and like 25% of our people are going to go to somebody else's church if they go at all after this is over with, because they haven't been coming to our church and that gives them freedom to check out the other guys. And some of them have decided, you know what, I like what those guys do better than what we do, so I'm going there. And those are things we won't even pick up on later. Guys, if our ego is about the crowd and it's about how people relate to our preaching, and I can't wait to get back to preaching 45-minute sermons every Sunday. Guys, I'm telling you, you're missing it. This has been a humbling season. I thought I had really wrestled with that because right up there on the wall in my office is my life verse. For the rest of my life, it's John 3:30. He must become greater. That's in large print, mm-hmm. and in small print it says, "I must become less." Just a reminder: it's all about Him, not about me. And I thought I had really come to grips with that. And then this year, God has really been working on my heart. Hey, you need to get your own ego out of the way, dude. And so when I got up to preach one Sunday, I did not preach a sermon. I just took to the 23rd Psalm and walked through it the way I've been praying it for the last year. And guys, I'm a much better preacher now than I was before COVID. And the best compliment, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but the best compliment I've ever got from preaching came after that day. And I think God finally was able to get through to me. This is what I've been wanting all along. Preach out of the overflow. Don't preach a sermon. Don't worry about points and people remembering your outline and your clever illustrations. You know, walk closely with me and let that speak through your life. That is transformational. It's transformational for the preacher. It's transformational for the people.
That is so good. And I'm really appreciate you sharing that with us, because I think that that's something that all of us are wrestling through, mm-hmm. because whether we want to be honest about it or not, that's what we get our strokes from, is who's mm-hmm. there and all that. And so God's really having to work through a lot of stuff in our calloused hearts and all of us. And so I really appreciate you saying that, even to a couple of other radio TV guys in college. You know. Yeah. We're kindred spirits, man.
I still, man, you didn't have as good of a call thing as me, though. It's the big guy with the small name coming to you. That's the best. But, mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, because you do deal with so many larger churches in your association. You are blessed with some churches that just have reached thousands of people. But that trend, and Carrie Newhoff talks a lot about this on his podcast, that we're continuing to see a move toward the smaller church or toward micro movements or smaller venues. Do you think that will continue beyond COVID in the post-COVID world, that we're going to continue to almost see a downsizing of venues, a downsizing of different things?
Yes and no. I think there's some churches always going to be large, and they're going to be large for a reason. They do things better, right? There's better singing, there's better preaching, there's better training opportunities, there's better stuff for our kids and all that. But the ones that are really going to be most fruitful and effective, have the healthiest kind of growth, are those who are going to focus on connection, a deep connection around those real issues that we live with day in and day out, that the gospel speaks very clearly to. People are hungry for connection, and they want to know what God has to say about what's going on. And so the churches are going to grow, they're going to be healthier and stronger, are going to be those who focus on connection. And if guys are doing a better than average job with preaching, teaching, providing care, and deeply connecting people, those churches are going to thrive. And I think that trend towards small groups connecting deeply is something that is going to lead us forward out of this time as churches. That I honestly believe that is our future. Right now, our church, the church I attend, we're starting a whole new church-wide Bible study series around the, now I'm going to go completely blank, the new television show about Jesus. Chosen.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen any of it yet. You know, our pastors watched the whole thing, obviously, in preparing for this. There are going to be some things we love and some things we go, yeah, I'm not too sure about that. But it stimulates conversations that people have always wondered about Jesus. They've always wondered about Christianity. And if that was true for Jesus, why are we doing all this other stuff? One of the major things that's coming out of this time is people are focusing more and more on the mission. That's pretty good. If we get back to the focusing on what's most important, that's going to make our churches healthier and stronger. That's also probably going to bring down some of the competitive spirit. We're probably going to see some more collaboration, cooperation around that, because people really are going to be hungry for what really works, what really matters.
I think you're right, David. You know, keeping the main thing, as we always said, yep. You know, and getting back to that, to where churches can actually work together. And in an association, as you are in, it's so important that we are able to work together. And I wanted to ask you, would you mind telling folks how they can connect with you, Facebook or websites or however?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a few years ago, I was building a personal website, and guys, you're going to go there and you're going to go, this is it? So just don't go there. But it's davidgbowman.com, davidgbowman.com. And it's all lowercase. And if you want to look for me on Facebook, it's davidgbowman.com. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's davidgbowman. Instagram, same thing. Now, I write a daily devotional that, you know, it started off just family, and then it became family and friends, and now it's a larger group that I write for. I call it ADD, almost daily devotional. You know, I'm almost always there, but I have a virtual assistant who used to actually work for us here. She's a seminary graduate. Her husband's still trying to graduate, but he took a church someplace else and they live away. But she takes my daily devotionals and she turns them into Instagram and Twitter and Facebook posts. And so if you go there, you're going to see some really cool stuff that I cannot take credit for. She does that for me. She makes me look good. But David G. Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, that's a good way to connect. And you can also, if you want to send me an email, david@davidgbowman.com. I got several other email addresses too. So, yep.
Well, I know you're also grateful that the Rockies allowed David Dahl to come your way to the Texas Rangers. He's going to hit a ton of home runs for you. I'm not sure my team's going to hit any up here for this year. So.
Well, you just traded away, you know, one of the best hitters in baseball. So
yeah. How did that happen? At least we got a bag of Fruit Loops back for him. So anyway, yeah. Hope is not a strategy. I think I've heard that before.
Well, I'll tell you what. The great thing about baseball is there's always next year. And for my whole life, it's always been. There's always been
always next year. Yeah. Until last year when there was no next year. So that whole thing got dashed.
Hey, we have the World Series here in Arlington in Tarrant County. Our guys weren't playing in it, but it was here. So.
Yeah, well, it's great to have a new ballpark. Someday you'll get to go to it. So
my wife knows how much I love baseball, right? And so their school district had their graduations at the Rangers' new ballpark. And so I'm at home, you know, doing whatever, just kind of taking it easy. And I get a text message, and it's my wife standing on top of home plate, taking a selfie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's... That's not right.
It was a good relationship for 35 years.
Yeah. I can understand that. Well, David, we are just blessed beyond measure that you would take time to join us. And I know you have a lot going on and a lot of churches to work with. And we thank you for your time. It means a lot. And I appreciate what you're doing to help support and encourage churches and pastors right now. I think the need for encouragement's never been more for church leaders. And so thank you for what you're doing and for the time you've given us.
Absolutely. Trent, Alan, thank you for the gift that you are to church leaders who are struggling along, wondering, what am I supposed to be doing now? You're giving them some hope and encouragement, and that is just invaluable. Thank you for doing that.
We enjoy this very much. And so everybody who's listening, watching, we appreciate you taking some time to watch this or listen to us. And we want to again say thank you to David Bowman. He is the executive director of the Tarrant Baptist Association. And again, please help us get the word out, share our podcast with others, and connect with us on Facebook or at enduringchurches.com. And we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at alan@enduringchurches.consulting or trent@enduringchurches.consulting. So God bless you. Hope you have an awesome day, and may you endure.